Everyone, welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts, Ben, Rob, and Seth. We're investigative bearded researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on. And then we share what we find with all of you. Plus, we do a lot of joking around in the process. And man, is there a lot to joke about today. I mean, with Joe Biden in, when isn't there? But have you seen the little boy whose obsession with corn made him go viral? It sparked parodies, songs, and even Bill Gates jumping on the corn bandwagon. So tonight, I'm going to show you my special reaction to Bill that you're definitely going to want to see.
It's going to burn into your memory, too. So plus, did you see that Joe Biden was on 60 Minutes, but afterwards the White House had to basically back up about all these things that he said? Well, with all these world leaders showing exactly how out of touch they are, our live show is going to break down the schemes and the ridiculous strategies behind it all.
Yeah, it gives a whole new meaning to corn pop, right? Then for the Rise TV exclusive part of our show, we'll bring you our Dig Deep Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly. And finally, we'll bring you our top 10 weirder news segment where we'll talk about life on Mars, CIA shenanigans, and really strange deep sea creatures. You will have to see it to believe it. So let's get started with this Friday Night Live.
Well, hey, just a reminder, are you listening to the Rise TV Friday Night Live podcast? If you are, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. It's going to help us reach even more people since the podcast algorithm largely goes by reviews given by all you lovely people.
And also make sure that not just the FNL podcast, but Man in America on podcast, Edge of Wonder on podcast. You know, that way, if you are, say, gardening or feeding your chickens or driving somewhere, you can always have our lovely voices in your ears, which is, I mean, what greater could there be? So, guys,
above torture.
Yes. Let's start off with our personal highlights of the week. And I guess I'll jump into mine because it's a little more simple and fun. But so my daughter, she turns 2 in this next week, so which will be really fun and exciting. But she's really taken a liking to Winnie the Pooh. And there's this hour-long Winnie the Pooh movie that we bought on Amazon Prime that we have on the TV. And maybe like, you know, once every 2 days or so, she'll get to watch it. But it's been one of the most lovely experiences for me because I get I spend a lot of my day looking into like the bowels of hell of humanity, like researching whether it's, child sex trafficking or food shortages or, you know, Putin or any number of things, Hunter Biden's laptop, Bill Gates. And there's just this beautiful thing because I then, you know, like pull my head out of that and sit down on the couch and this beautiful little girl, she's like, dad, 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 dad. And she'll like tap the couch next to her and she'll go, Pooka, Gungda, Gungda, which means Pooh Bear, right? And she'll say, more Pooh Bear. And I'm just going to sit there with her and watch this beautiful, innocent show. And this is the movie. I think it was out in the late 70s or early 80s. So there's no agenda to it. It just shows kindness and simplicity. And there's just these beautiful stories of these animals in the forest. And, it, you know, again, it's not some profound thing, but it's just been this lovely thing that I'm so just grateful for to have in my life. Because I think that if I was just an adult in this time period with no child and, you know, maybe not doing what I'm doing right now, life would just be so different. It'd be so easy to get sucked into this stuff. So I can just, maybe it's the beauty of bringing a child into the world and experiencing what that child can do for you. But it's really, really helped me. And I remember that when my wife fell pregnant, it was like right at the beginning of COVID. And I thought like, gosh, this is going to be so stressful to have a child amidst this. But it's really been the opposite. And it is, as crazy as the world has been, she's been this constant reminder that human life just continues and there still is such beauty and innocence in this world. And I just see it in her. So that's my, that's my highlight. And I've always got Pooh Bear's song stuck in my head.
So. That's great.
Awesome.
Ryan, I'd love to hear it. What are you guys? What about you, Ben? Tell us all about it.
Actually, I did have an interesting experience this week. So I started going to this. There's a few cafes in the area, and I started going to a new one just the other day. And I was actually working on our Deep State series as I was there. And this girl comes in and just sits down next to me, and she's like kind of talking to everybody and stuff. And, you know, she has one of those hairstyles where it's like normal on one side and completely shaved off on the other side, you know? So I just kind of like assumed that she's kind of in the woke crowd. So I didn't really think too much of it. I'm just like working. And like, I just had this thought that was just like, you need to start talking to this girl. And I'm like, okay, I don't really know how to bring up a conversation or anything. So eventually we just start talking, and you know, it was really fascinating because, you know, she's telling me that she's like a nutritionist and she's like changing her diet and what she's eating and everything else. But then we start kind of getting into like, she's asking me what I do and stuff. And I started off kind of light, but then she just starts kind of explaining things, what's going on in the world. And I was like, this is really weird because I was literally writing like just what she's talking about in the script that I'm writing. And so I was like showing it to her. I'm like, well, this is kind of funny because I'm actually writing about this. And it turns out it's like she's the actual opposite, where she was very much like truly awake about what's going on. And, you know, it just kind of reminded me like not to judge books by the cover. But what's crazy is that she said it was their first time going into the cafe, and she was meeting some friends there. And she said she was literally praying to God before she walked in about meeting. She wanted to meet new people that were on the same wavelength as her. So it was just kind of like a interesting experience where I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So, so we had a really interesting conversation.
It's also, I think that it's an important lesson too. Because wasn't it the girl's name was, I think, Judith? I think you guys interviewed her. She was the green haired, really, really liberal. And then she woke up and she was able to really reach a lot of people that would never turn on someone like you or I, really. So I think it is an important thing to remember is that right now, you know, some might say that we're in the period of the Great Awakening, and there are so many people that are waking up, but they might have, you know, a year ago, they might've had giant gauged ears and tattoos and rainbow bumper stickers. I mean, who knows, but it's just important that we realize that everyone has their own timeline. And just because we might've found out something about say 5 years ago or 10 years ago, like who cares? Whatever event that we're in right now, it's not over yet. So, you know, if on the last day someone wakes up and they realize the truth, hey, that's amazing. What a great story, Ben. Rob, how about you? I'd love to hear what your highlight is.
Well, I think I had a really interesting week and a half because I got like 1.3 million views on TikTok over the last week, which was really eye-opening. So it was really encouraging just from the standpoint of what do people really want right now or what do people really need? And, you know, if it wasn't for censorship, our shows would be just reaching so many more people, you know? And it was really eye-opening to see that and encouraging. But also, like, I realized something, too, about all of this. Because, you know, when all of this October 24th stuff started coming up, you know, Ben and I did a show about this yesterday, Seth, after you brought it up last Friday on the show, right? And, you know, I just kind of realized, like, really, there's not really that much that they can do. Like literally everything that they do is having to force a date and specific numbers into a movie over and over again to try to do something. And it just made me realize like how pathetic like the global control that they're trying to assert on us really is. It's not as strong as they come off on. And actually, if I could make a prediction, you know, the way that this can only go in one direction where the it's like the evil gets to such an extreme where it just actually eats itself. It eats itself alive. And so all we, in a sense, like, of course, we should counteract it however we can. But it is, as it gets closer and closer to the surface, going to annihilate itself more and more because it can't coexist with itself, which is just a hilarious concept if you really start thinking about it. And I think all communist regimes actually ended up that way too. So it's only a matter of time that their money and faux power kind of props them up. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting time period to be in. That's for sure. I mean, maybe let's just get it before we dig into the meat of today's show. Let's talk about Xi Jinping briefly, because there's rumors going on right now that I think that the origin of this I've seen so far has been Jennifer Zhang on Twitter. Mm. And I know you guys know her quite well, right?
Yeah, we interviewed her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so she's someone that I know very, very kind of basically nothing to your degree, but she's someone that has oftentimes broke really critical news about what's happening in China. You guys remember the defector, I think it was Di Dongxian, might have been his name, the major CCP defector. I think she broke that news. She broke some of the news about the meeting of Chinese generals recently. So she recently said, and actually, I'll pull this up. I've got it right here. And Lindsay, I apologize. I didn't give you this to you ahead of the show because it's just happened. But I'm just going to read her tweet really quick. And Lindsay, if you can find it, it's good. But so she said, PLA military vehicles heading to Beijing on September 22nd, starting from Huanlai County near Beijing and ending in Zhangjiakou City, Hebei Province, an entire procession as long as 80 kilometers. I guess there's this big military procession. But then she said, meanwhile, rumor has it that Xi Jinping was under house arrest after CCP seniors removed him as the head of the PLA. So that's very interesting. I just saw on her Twitter feed that she said there's one source that she had that was saying it wasn't true. But again, with these things, like, you just don't know, right? I want to get your guys' opinion on this because, like, this could mean a lot of things. Now, one, so I after I saw that, I messaged Jeff Nyquist and was saying, hey, did you see this? And he was already kind of on top of it. He's talking to multiple sources to better understand it. And what he said was that he's just speculating. He's like, look, you know, we'll know within 48 hours what's really going on.
Yeah.
He said, what I got from him was that Xi Jinping, it seems like he's the one really pushing for war. Like, he's the one that is really pushing towards a global expansion of communism. And he's really revived a lot of the Maoist principles of communism. He's created a strong divide within the high level CCP. So one, you know, a thing that Jeff says that, you know, there is a chance that this would have been high level CCP arresting him to prevent him from pushing China into a third world war. But the other thing, there's a guy that was Court Rhineland. I think he's here in our Rise chat, that he put a comment on Telegram in the thread on Telegram on my Man in America channel. And said, you know, brought a really good point too, that there are warring factions within the CCP.
Yes.
And we know that opposite of Xi Jinping is Jiang Zemin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it could also be, if this happened, that, you know, for Xi to try to take the country into war is very risky, because a lot of times during war, you don't have a lot of support. Like, look what Lincoln had to do, right? As you talk about the support from Congress and everyone, he had to really go out on a limb, you know, around the time of the Civil War. So it could be that maybe the Jiang faction is using this as an opportunity to take Xi Jinping out. And so it's like, one scenario is really good. The other scenario is really
not good.
Because the Jiang faction, if they regain control, like, Jiang Zemin is like, Hitler. I would honestly say that he's the most evil person on earth. Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
as much
yeah.
as people say, oh, Hillary Clinton or Marina Abramovich or whatever, like, Jiang, like, the stories I've heard coming out of China and out of these labor camps, whether it's Falun Gong or the Uyghur Muslims, the stories I've heard are, like, atrocious. Like, yep. Like, I won't even repeat them. So, yeah, anyway, but what do you guys think, though?
Well, okay, so you know, one thing we have to remember, everything that happens in China, like whatever comes out, it's always different psyops going on. You know, like I'll give you an example. When Hu Jintao, the former leader of China right before Xi Jinping, and Wen Jiabao, that was like the we'd be equivalent of like the vice president. They came out in somewhere between 2008 and 2011 stating that Jiang Zemin died. So, and this was actually published in media reports. The Western media were really confused by it because there was like really not an official confirmation aside from Hu Jintao actually. Well, he didn't say it. They leaked it to the press. The press was like, you know, quoting like an official source. And then it just went out like wildfire, like Jiang Zemin died. The purpose of this, they know he didn't die. The purpose was because Jiang Zemin was in hiding and they did this to bring him out publicly. At that point, Jiang Zemin had no choice but to come out publicly to show that he was alive. Then it's like they knew where he was, and two, they knew that he was alive. So that was the purpose of them doing it. Now, coming back to something like this, it's like it's hard to say whether this is like Xi Jinping's side starting a rumor to see how Jiang's side would actually respond to this. If they're like, oh, wow, did he actually get arrested? Let's take action. And then Xi Jinping's forces like moves in. You know, that's one perspective from this. The other perspective is that Jiang's side did say something like this to force Xi Jinping to take some kind of action. Because then it's like, well, clearly I didn't get arrested. And then it's like, you know, he's going to have to come out publicly as well. So it's like China is just this game of cat and mouse and this constant chess game. And it's like, I think this is why it's so hard for Western society, and especially like people in academics and different sciences and social studies and even the media have a hard time understanding it, because it's so complicated. The communist mindset in these groups, it's not anything normal.
No, it's layers and layers and layers of deceit and lies and
And everything's built on top of that. I mean, we're dealing with you said, like the worst people on the planet right here, like Jiang Zemin and everything. So the type of fighting that happens is not normal. And so it's really hard with these things to kind of figure out. I agree with what Jeff said though, you know, in 48 hours, we'll probably know. My personal opinion about it, I don't think so. I think that if this is a tactic used against Xi Jinping, this is like Xi Jinping's got to be really smart then and come out like, okay, how obviously this isn't true. Why did this happen? What, like, you know, so he's got to play it safe too. Now, I'm not trying to justify or stand up for Xi Jinping, you know, but it's like at this point, I don't know which side would be better of who in power, you know, like obviously I'm not really for Jiang's side. Like that would literally have Hitler, like the equivalent of Hitler stepping into power to control China, which he did. And that's when the persecution of Falun Gong happen, as well as like the Uyghurs, underground Christians, and the Buddhists were like being heavily persecuted under Jiang. Unfortunately, Xi Jinping hasn't done too much, but he has been arresting the officials who've been a part of these persecutions, but publicly they just get arrested for like corruption. So sorry, well, that was kind of a long-winded.
Yeah, answer, no, to piggyback off of that, Ben, you were just talking about the arrests. So the factions in China have long been there. There's been a division since Xi Jinping came into power. That's not new. That's like they like actually the thing that Xi Jinping did that was of note, mostly when he first came in, was he started arresting CCP cadres that were involved in certain parts of the persecution or different persecutions within China. However, you know, you could skew like that. Was that because they were a part of those persecutions, or was it because that the factions are just what they are? And he was cleaning a bunch of that stuff up to protect his power.
That's great, Rob. Yeah. I mean, that's the other way of looking at it.
With Jiang Zemin is like a 96-year-old nose picker, literally. So
he's kind of like the Chinese George Soros that like is like Hitler.
Yeah. If you could be even worse, right? But so he basically
Biden, Clinton, yeah. Kissinger, Soros.
The thing that you have to worry about is not really Jiang Zemin, it's Jiang Zemin's son. Jiang Zemin's son has a legitimate amount of power within China, and he's kind of running the gang or the regime, the Jiang Zemin faction, for as it were. The thing is that what Ben pointed out about this entire scenario that you have to understand is that a lot of times what these Maoist philosophers do, or what these Maoist communists do, is they stage something to see who's still on their side. And yep. Then when they find out who's not on their side, they get rid of them. So right now with this information coming in, we're not sure what part of this belongs to, right? But we do know that psychological operations are a daily thing in the Chinese Communist Party. And I have to say, anyone thinking that Xi Jinping is trying to take down the deep state has fallen prey to a psychological operation, because Xi Jinping is a Chinese Communist Party member. And yeah. The entire game with them is deceit and is political or psychological operations for the purpose of power. And if he was really a good guy, he would have gotten rid of communism by now. But, you know, we're still waiting. Now, I did check in with some of my sources over at the Epoch Times to find out what was going on here. Okay. And I got something back just recently that basically said that no one there is really talking about this right now. There's no, okay. That doesn't mean much. That doesn't mean that this isn't true or that it is true. It just means that there isn't anyone really processing or taking too seriously what they're hearing at this moment. They've just been talking more about the plane cancellations and stuff like that. And to me, what it looks like, if I was to make a prediction or try to understand what I'm seeing, is that all of the military assets that are being moved into Beijing for this kind of early meeting or whatever, I believe Xi Jinping is doing to consolidate and strengthen his power so that he passes on to the next term. But it still is, just like Jeff Nyquist said, like time will tell. So we're going to have to see.
So you know? I was just, as you were talking, Rob, I wanted to see the last time Jiang Zemin made an appearance, and it looks like it was in 2019, like publicly.
Yeah. And from he was what I could, picking his nose then too.
From what I could find.
Guy's an epic nose picker.
There's a lot of photos of him actually doing that and looking at his watch constantly. And yeah. in China, that's very significant. If you have somebody looking at a watch, it's really bad. It's like foreshadowing a death.
Well, it's also the same thing. When you gift somebody something, like you should, you never give a Chinese person a clock. Now, a watch is a very common gift in China, especially like it's how officials are bribed very commonly. I used to unfortunately be not part of that direct business directly, but I used to do a lot of business in Hong Kong, and I'd have people coming out of China into Hong Kong with like hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash, like wanting to buy like bribery gifts. It was kind of a wild time. But if buying a clock, it means like that you, it's almost like it's like you're waiting for their death to come. That's like the timing of it.
Yes, but, I get it.
Like, that's you never hilarious. Buy someone a set of knives either. Like, don't buy a Chinese person a set of knives because it means that you want to kill them.
Yep.
I get also why Westerners would think that's ridiculous, but it's so funny that that's what that means in their culture. Like, it's good to know those little things too, you know?
It is.
You can send a present to someone.
So we're going to do a trailer now. So, Rob, what's going on here?
Well, I think we all know that governments and corporations have their own agendas, but something we don't hear about is the marketing manipulation behind things like our food products and exactly how our choice has been taken away over generations. So, Seth, I don't know if you know this, but Ben and I did a whole series about the big food agenda on our show, Edge of Wonder, and the second episode just dropped today. So check out this trailer that's going to hopefully blow your mind.
And your gut.
Ah, youth, a time of fun, pranks, and jokes. A time of hopscotch, ice cream floats, soda pop, and double dates at the drive-in. It's a time for finding one's place in the world. But in these troubled times, the innocence of youth has been capitalized on and manipulated for profit. This is a sugar and marketing manipulation PSA from Edge of Wonder. And it's one you've never heard before. Did you know that sugar was unhealthy? Yes. Did you know that companies like Coke and Pepsi fund health research? You aren't supposed to know that. Did you know that the history of sugar involves a deliberate agenda to hook children like a drug and use marketing, media, and subliminal messaging to purposely manipulate not just children, but even parents?
There's a fine white powder lurking in your cupboard, and it isn't cocaine. Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the sickly, sweet world of the sugar agenda that has infiltrated your home, your children's minds, and even the world's governments.
This expose will reveal the truth being kept from you. But more importantly, you'll learn what to look out for so the manipulation can't continue.
That's a wild trailer.
It is. And hey, just let me remind everyone, if you're listening to Rise TV Friday Night Live podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. It's going to help us reach even more people since the podcast algorithm largely goes by reviews by you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for watching.
So yeah, that was a pretty wild trailer there.
Yeah,
for sure.
And we just... that episode just came out, so you can find that on part two now on Rise TV. So yeah, and we have a lot of all of our amazing series on Rise TV, our transhumanism, and we did on the world of Tartaria, and the other one we just did was the big oil industrial complex. And so
very eye-opening, that one. Yeah,
yes it is.
Rockefeller deep dive.
Rockefeller.
That sounds like a song I need to create, or like a rap that Tom McDonald.
Tom McDonald, dude.
Right.
Well, his girlfriend's name is Nova Rockefeller.
It is. Dude, did I tell you what I realized I think her name means? I told you this, right? Nova
to no explode.
Go. Yeah. No, Nova means to explode, like a supernova, and her last name is Rockefeller. That's crazy.
Also, in Spanish, no. Nova means no go, because there was a car that came out. I think it was Nova. The Chevy Nova. that the sales tanked in Mexico.
In Mexico, it did, yeah.
Because no one thought the fact that Nova meant no go. It's like, why would you buy a car named no go?
No go car. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
So what do you guys want to dive into first? We've got some funny stuff with Biden, 60 Minutes. We've got Bill Gates, corn, a fantastic clip of Clay Clark on Newsmax, which I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah.
What's first, gentlemen?
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I was going to say, why don't we get into the corn? But what were we going to say?
Sure. Yeah. Like, let's watch my TikTok video here. So I just want to explain this. So Bill Gates happened to publish the weirdest PR video about corn on Instagram, and I watched it and I was like, this is terrifying. So I ended up doing a TikTok of it. Here it is right here.
Can I say something real quickly before you start that? Is to all the audience, as much as you would love to see Rob on TikTok, do not download the TikTok app. The reason why Rob, actually all of us, have TikTok accounts is because A, it's not on our main phone, so we're being secure with it. But B, it allows us to reach more people. But we're not encouraging people like you to go create TikTok accounts, because TikTok is obviously a massive data gathering operation by the CCP. But we can still use their tools against them, which is why Rob is going viral on TikTok all the time. That's my PSA.
Thank you.
Like about corn?
It's corn. A big, long, it has a juice.
Ask me about porn. That's crazy.
Yeah, so you know, that whole thing was like a really big PR stunt that I guess Bill Gates and his team pulled to, and they're using this extremely. So what happened was there was this viral interview with this little adorable boy talking about how much he loved corn and what corn did for him and all of this stuff. And then that, you know, the guys that ended up making the auto-tune songs for like the Double Rainbow and all of that stuff. One of those guys ended up making a song from the viral interview. And it's like the corn song, right? Which is what Bill Gates was playing in the background, right? You can actually play a little
bit. Yeah, can we play this? I haven't seen this yet.
I haven't seen it either.
No, the interview.
Not everyone has to like it to be the best.
Yeah.
Everyone just has to try it. Have a bake.
What else are your favorite things?
I play a variety of games. Hide and seek, tag, level lava monster. Yeah, mostly cold.
Lava monster?
I mean, then look at this then. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's cold.
It's corn!
Because corn is awesome!
Can you describe corn to someone who's never tasted it before?
A big lump with knobs. It has the juice. It's the part that mostly makes me like the cone.
How much do you think corn should cost?
$1. I hope you really have a corn-tastic day.
A corn-tastic day?
What? It's just a pun about corn.
That is...
That's like a cute grandma little boy.
Oh man,
yeah, he's adorable. So they made that song that, you know, from that, and you know, right away, all of the GMO corn companies just jumped on it, right? Because there's all of the danger revolved around GMO corn right now, yep. And of course, Bill Gates is all over that right away. And you should have seen, man, the dank comments on that video I published about Bill Gates was crazy. Like, no, there was like, of like however many comments I had, like 200 comments, two of them were positive and the rest of them were like, I'm never eating corn again. You know, it was ridiculous.
Man, corn is like, well, Monsanto seems to really have a monopoly on the corn seed. So
yeah, and the thing is, I don't trust any industry that Bill Gates touches, unfortunately, which is kind of crazy.
Exactly.
It is crazy that this guy who started off as some computer dude that was idolized and everything has become almost like an Austin Powers, like Dr. Evil bad character type guy. But the good thing is that people, like, I think that, you know, a couple of years ago, if you said Bill Gates was evil or whatever, people would be like, you're crazy. But now I think that people are like really, really seeing the truth of this. But I want to play this clip. So Clay Clark was on Newsmax.
I haven't seen this yet. So I'm really looking forward to it. I wanted to wait to like watch it live.
Yeah. So Clay Clark, who's actually, he's a good friend of mine. I called him the other day about this and he was just, I said, Clay, this was hilarious. He goes, you know what? He goes, I knew I had 60 seconds. I thought I was just like, I knew I'd never be coming back on Newsmax. So I hit it out of the park. So this is, it's kind of a poor video. This is what was kind of floating around. But this is Clay Clark on Newsmax talking about masking in school. And he used the opportunity to dig into Bill Gates. And you just watch the reaction of the Newsmax host. Because think about Newsmax is basically like a Fox News. They're a mainstream controlled media, right? They're very pro-vaccine, everything. They lied about the election, etc. So just watch this interaction and just enjoy this. And kudos to Clay.
In the fall, what do you think about that from the president, making it very clear that he wants schools to reopen, and in fact, there could be negative outcomes for those that don't?
Well, one, we should definitely open up the schools, and we need to stop listening to Dr. Fauci, who is funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. And all of your listeners know this. I know this. You know this. We all know this. But Jeffrey Epstein's not a good man, and Bill Gates spent a lot of time with Mr. Jeffrey Epstein. So I don't think we should be listening to a pedophile for how to treat our kids, period. And we shouldn't be listening to people who spend time with pedophiles as it relates to our kids. So if Bill Gates wanted to watch my kids as a babysitter, I wouldn't let him do it. I'm certainly not going to use a vaccine he recommends. And Bill Gates has asked Dr. Fauci to serve on his board for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So stop listening to Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. They are corrupt individuals, and Bill Gates hangs out with pedophiles consistently. Why would he hang out with Epstein? Why would he do that? It's sick.
Okay. All right. Mark, thank you for coming on.
That's hilarious, man.
Oh, man. I saw that and I lost it. I lost it. And the funny thing is like, if you know Clay, like, that's just his personality. Like, he'll call me up. He'll be like, dude, you go watch this video on Queen Elizabeth and this, that. And then, like, before, next thing I know, is like 16 different texts that have come in. He's just like, he's on a whole other level of how that man operates. But the fact that he went on Newsmax and used the opportunity that was the topic was masking in schools to call out Bill Gates as a pedophile and Fauci as a fraud funded by Bill Gates.
Funny,
like, you gotta give the guy some credit.
To get, you know, invited again onto the Newsmax channel.
Oh, yeah, he knew that was his last time. So he's like, I'm going to go out with a bang. Oh, and also, so Clay, he was a professional DJ before he got into all this stuff. Like, before he became more of a businessman, he was a professional DJ, and so he got so used to just running a radio show and DJing for weddings and stuff. So the guy's really he's like a weapon when you put a mic into his hand.
I don't recommend either of you use that strategy if you ever get asked on the Newsmax.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It was not funny though.
So, speaking of just funny celebrity stuff, so were we going to play the interview of Trump and Biden?
Yeah,
did
let's
we have
go
that
ahead.
Ready.
Let's go. Ahead. Let's go. Ahead
this is that. This is so well done. This
it
is so
really well
so
done.
Well done.
It is. I mean, okay, like, this is, somebody did this. You know, they took Trump's interview from 60 Minutes and Biden's interview from 60 Minutes, and they put it together. But it's like, it's incredible. I don't know who did this, but this is absolutely phenomenal.
I think it might have been Maze who did this. There's this guy named Maze.
And I know who you're talking about. He does
see,
a lot of
see how it says Maze on Biden's shirt, on his jacket?
Yeah, you're right.
He's like a video editor and meme kind of guy. He does this kind of stuff.
Actually,
he's very talented.
Yeah, he's the one I think we showed last week, too. Okay.
We created the greatest economy in the history of our country.
Well, first of all, let's put this in perspective.
The unemployment numbers for African Americans, for Asian Americans, for Hispanic Americans, virtually every number was the best.
Inflation rate month to month was just just an inch.
Hardly we had the best stock market price ever.
I got that. But guess what we are? We're in a position where for the last several months, it hasn't spiked.
You know what? We deleted 33,000 emails.
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that, I mean names of people who helped or et cetera. And it's just totally irresponsible.
I think it's disgraceful what she's done.
I mean, honest to God, that's all I think.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
Don't.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught.
Yes.
It was our Justice Department.
Yes.
It was Obama and Biden.
It's wrong. So wrong.
I think what happened was disgraceful. Should never have happened.
Think about that.
Should never have happened.
Think of how that has changed everything.
What kind of ice cream? What flavor ice cream do you have?
You think I would tell you if I knew exactly what it would be? Of course I'm not going to tell you.
You just come in here with that negative attitude.
And it's much too early to make that kind of decision.
And when I finish, this country will be in a position like it hasn't been maybe ever.
I'm more optimistic than I've been in a long time.
Wow, that was like seriously, that was like one in a million. That
was so well done.
That would have taken a long time to do. You would have to have the scripts, like the, you know, the whole thing in front of you, and just kind of look for various parts. But then the facial features. Oh my god!
But could you imagine how much fun that would be? Like, imagine, like, it's so rare you can create something like that. But imagine when you're getting ready to upload it, and you're like, man, this is gonna go so far. Right.
Oh my god, it's hilarious. That thing definitely went viral. Oh man. And okay, well, we have to play a trailer, right?
Yes, actually. And
trailer, and then I'll get back in, because there's something I want to talk about on this topic, actually. So we'll
okay,
play
sounds good
first.
Well, actually, this next trailer is all about Seth, really. We've all seen how inflation is affecting the United States and how the economies of the countries all around the world are being affected. Well, our boy Seth here did an episode on his show, Deep Insight, all about how inflation is used to enslave mankind. So check out this trailer.
That was hilarious.
They say that the love of money is the root of all evil. But what does that really mean? That the pursuit of money can make us do evil things to bend the rules? Compromise our values? Or could it possibly mean that money in the hands of evil people can be used to control an individual, a nation, or even the entire world? Every day, we're experiencing how much money can impact our lives. When we fill up at the gas pump, when we buy a loaf of bread, when we pay our electric bill. The talking heads on TV tell us we're experiencing inflation, and they usually blame it on Putin or pandemic or climate change. But what if inflation is one of the key mechanisms that the elites use to control our society? Vladimir Lenin perhaps said it best, the way to crush the bourgeois is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. In this episode of Deep Insight with Man in America, we're going to look past the deception of inflation and see just how insidious this tool of the elites really is. And more importantly, we are going to look at how to fight back.
Well, hey, are you listening to Rise TV Friday Night Live on a podcast? If you are, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Thank you.
And thanks for watching.
That trailer looked cool.
Yeah,
that was it was a really fun episode to do, and we're working on the next installment, which is going to be digging into the, you know, BlackRock Vanguard and how that system works. But yeah, it's really fascinating information to dig into the financial system and the, you know, the Babylonian money magic and just how they've weaponized money against the people. Like, it's just kind of crazy. It's insane, actually, if you really think about it. It's one of the greatest tools they've used to enslave us, and we think nothing of it.
Yeah.
You know, we have our bank accounts, we have our credit cards, and it's like they've used the whole thing. And it reminds me so much of Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, which I was talking to my wife about that, because we've got a script that's written. It's like probably a 45-minute script that we've had been sitting on for over a year.
Really?
It's like, oh, man, it's like one of the... It's one of like the most, like, aside from Plot to Steal America, I think it's the best script we've ever written. And it's incredible. And so we have to get it done, because it goes into all this. Like, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars goes into deeply into how they use, like, the foundation of how of the control mechanism for them is financial, and how basically, like, the you know, they, through credit cards, UPC codes, everything, they can monitor everything in real time. But it's even crazy, like, how they would do shock testing, and how, like, they were testing, like, they could raise the price of beef and they would be able to correlate. This is like back in the 60s and 70s, and even the 50s. They could correlate how raising the price of beef would lead to an increase in cigarette sales, or would lead to an increase of men going to the bar to drink.
Yeah.
Like, imagine what kind of data they have on us now that everything is tracked. It's just, yeah, it's insane. So anyway, if all of you watching, if you haven't watched it yet, both parts 1 and 2 are on Rise TV.
Yeah, well, and actually, this kind of goes into a little bit what I kind of wanted to bring up too, because, okay, so, like, the stock market crashed
again, you know, like the Dow is like the lowest it's ever been, you know, and this is what's fascinating.
The lowest because, it's been recently. It's been much lower.
I mean, it's been low. Yeah, that is true. It has been much lower. And, you know, it's like when this, okay, so we had like COVID happen and the economy was kind of like really tanking, right? Now you have Biden literally saying COVID is over. He's like, no one's wearing masks anymore, you know? And then like Fauci is now like kind of arguing about that. But you would think that now that people are going back to work, that people are, you know, doing more things, that the economy would actually be reversed. And in fact, it should be pretty much booming right now, but it's the opposite. It's like things are worse before, like during the COVID. And it's like, why is that? And this is what I found so fascinating. It's because, you know, I think that this is this agenda that's being pushed. It's the only thing that makes sense. It's like, technically speaking, we shouldn't even have it. Like, where is this inflation even coming from if everyone is going back to work and working and doing things and all this stuff, right? So, of course, they're like, they have all these things they're blaming. And, you know, the war in Ukraine, well, it's like, yeah, we're sending billions and billions of dollars over there. So, like, yeah, well, is that causing inflation? It's like, how, not necessarily the war itself, but anyway, it's just something that I was thinking about through all of this. And I think you're absolutely right, Seth, that, you know, there's all these agendas, and including, man, you know, then you can get into like the pharmaceutical agenda where it's like, keep, you know, keeping everybody sick and getting everybody addicted. You have the opioids, now the fentanyl. I mean, I was just reading the other day that fentanyl has killed more people now than COVID combined. Like, in like the whole period of COVID, just in this last year, more people have died from fentanyl. And like, Biden's
not anyone talking about that. Yeah.
They're not talking about it at all.
No, it's because China's behind it and everyone's, you know, hush on China. And this is it's a crazy but interesting point I want to bring up is I've caught a lot of flack lately because I don't really, like, for me, like, all I really care about is digging into the truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certain narratives that maybe, you know, what I think might be some ways it doesn't really match what other people think. It's like, well, I don't really care. I'm not doing this to kind of appeal to your narrative or your worldview. I'm doing it because I'm genuinely trying to find out what the truth is. And, you know, some people, there's this comment in my chat talking about China and Xi Jinping. I even saw people asking in this chat, like, oh, I heard Xi Jinping was a white hat, which is like, that's a whole different topic to get into. But somebody was like, why are you so focused on China? The real corruption is all the politicians in our government. And they're like, look at how Biden,
China,
you
know,
is selling off of China. And it was just like, that's the point. It's like, they're just the puppets. Like, you can spend all of your energy focusing on the puppets and say, look how evil the puppets are. Like, for me, it's like, I want to go shoot the puppet master and cut the strings.
Who is the puppet master? That's the question.
Exactly.
Well, that's what we want to find out.
Yeah. And I think is that there's many different, like, at the puppet master level, there's multiple puppet masters and they're all fighting over who has control over which strings. Right. So there's multiple different puppet masters, but I know for sure that the CCP is one of the big puppet masters, and who's at the head of the CCP? Xi Jinping. So
I was going to say Jim Henson.
Yeah, exactly. No, so for all the people, I mean, and this is just as a quick response, for anybody that is telling you that she is a white hat, like, please, please, please have some suspicion about where they're getting that information from. Because, look, like, all three of us have worked within the Epoch Times. We have a lot of contacts that are heavily, heavily involved in China. And even the people we've interviewed, et cetera, like, I can say conclusively, there is zero chance that she is a white hat, right? Like, under Xi Jinping, the persecution of Falun Gong has continued. The organ harvesting has continued. The Uyghur camps are growing.
Yeah.
The social credit system, the persecution of the entire race of China, you know, the populace of China. It's like, he is continuing. And if you read his writings, like, Xi Jinping is a Maoist. Like, he wants to revive Maoist communism.
Currently,
even a lot of the CCP Politburo members think that she is too much of a communist. Like, that's,
currently,
there's no joke.
He's not a white hat. He's an ass hat. That's pretty much all there is to it until he does something that proves otherwise.
Because, which would be destroying the CCP.
Yeah,
if he came out and was like, hey, we're going to end the CCP and end communism, dude, he would be a hero. And he's not. Then, like, seriously, yeah, he's playing the role of a positive.
He's, yeah, he's on the razor's edge.
Yeah, but right by that, it's like funny though, because like, and that's absolutely true. It's like, and it, what's crazy is that you, like, I would imagine people even then defending that. Well, yeah, of course. Like, but he could be a white hat. It's like, well, Hillary Clinton could be a white hat then too, right? So could Barack Obama, right? It's just kind of like
George
people,
Soros,
like really, again, like, use your discernment. Really ask yourself.
Well, and also, do you, I mean, this is the, okay. A lot of people have just recently woken up. Okay, like over the last like 2 or 3, 4 years.
Actually, Sassy was asking, "What's a white hat?" So he, okay, maybe Rob, you can.
I'll get to that, and I'll get to that in a second. So. A lot of people just recently woke up and have, like, they have not been studying the monstrosity that is communism and it's all of its history and even how the communists were manipulating things behind the scenes during, you know, World War II, all of that. And they don't understand that entire thing and how, I mean, older folks in our generation may be a little bit more up on information like that because they experienced some of that firsthand, but a lot of folks now haven't, and it's a missing piece to their entire research. They're researching, a lot of times they're just like deep into these like random what they view are military posts that they're trying to like discern or ascertain some information out of them, and it's not the full picture. Like what you need to do is look at the full picture. Okay, so there are three different kinds of hats, I guess you could say. There's black hats, there's white hats, and there's gray hats. Okay. Black hats are bad actors within the government. You know, a black hat could be like, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like Bill Gates, if he's trying to take over the world, he'd be a black hat, right? A white hat would be someone working in the government who's doing different things, who's doing something. You can't really tell what they are, but they're actually affecting change. So in a sense, Trump is a white hat, right? There could be people that worked for Trump, like Pompeo and all of these people. Those are white hats, right? And then there's kind of people in between that you can't gray really hats tell, which yeah you'd kind of call gray hats. So like they're, bad they're hats, usually bad actors, white hats, good actors.
Yeah, then the gray hats are usually like, well, how much am I going to get paid? So what yeah side's going to pay me more? And that's kind of like where I'll go with that. Or
which
you
is
know,
like
or
Lindsey Graham is a perfect example of like yeah someone who swings. Yeah. I didn't mean that though. I know what you're thinking. Even though he does. That's
I thought funny you were calling out Lindsay, and I was gonna get upset with you. Like that's what funny Lindsay do to get dragged into yeah this.
Well, and these terminologies originally came out for hackers because that's how they first were, you know, it's like, oh, are you a white hat?
I haven't
hat
determined whether Lindsay
hacker
is a white so hat yet. Just kidding.
So like the black hats would hack into like, you know, all kinds of crazy things and try to steal stuff or put viruses in computers and stuff. And the white hats would fight against it. And, you know, usually work for like agencies to expose, you know, what like the dark side of things. So anyway. All right. So, you know, I think like, you know, this with the whole thing with Biden and everything going on, you know, we were kind of covering like the financial aspect. But something that happened in the news that Trump just actually had a tweet, a truth about, is this Kaler Ellingson situation where this guy, and I can't remember, Shannon something, this dude came out. Oh, okay, so Kaler Ellingson is this 18-year-old kid who was murdered by this this other guy. And the guy literally hit him in the SUV because he thought he was like a, you know, one of the extremists. And he literally called the police on himself saying, yes, I did this, thinking that what he did was good and he was going to be rewarded instead of like being arrested. And so this guy goes to jail, but his bond is only $50,000. And to put this in perspective, Kyle Rittenhouse's bond was $2 million. So the weird thing is like New York Times is completely silent on this case. You did have Washington Post that made a, that came out with an article talking about it. North Dakota driver claims political argument preceded teen's death, which is why he's like trying to excuse himself for why he ran over this kid. The kid knew that he was being followed. He called his mom at like 2 a.m. He was at, there was like an event going on that he was, and this car started following him around. But I think this brings up a bigger issue, which is this guy who ran him over has this understanding that he's doing something good by like getting rid of these like extremists in the country. And my understanding is like, this is what Biden's speech is now doing. And this is not what the media is reporting on. If this was reversed and like Trump said something, then it's like, oh, look, these people are acting this way because Trump is their leader and this is what he's doing. This guy literally is saying he did this. Now, he didn't say Biden's speech directly, but he had this understanding that this is a good thing of what he did by killing this 18-year-old kid. And I wanted to hear like what you guys, your thoughts about this whole thing. And then we have like Illinois passing this crazy bill. And I know, Seth, you wanted to kind of talk about that too. Like normalizing violence. Like, what do you guys think about this?
Well, I think that on the discussion of just the state of our society and, you know, whether we could descend into civil war or whatever, we have to realize that the bad actors, the black hats, right? We call them, right? The communists, the globalists, all the ists, the transhumanists, fundamentally like the tyrannists, they want America to descend into chaos. That's what they want. They want anarchy. They want a reason to bring in the UN troops. They want a reason to bring in the Chinese troops. And so that's what they're fueling. Like, so if you look at our streets, they're trying to normalize violence. And I forget who I was talking to recently about it. I think it was partly perhaps the interview with Kay Rubichek. That's the young man who was killed. And that's the guy, that's the ass hat who killed him, to use one of Rob's words. But they, you know, it's a communist tactic to normalize violence in a society because it breaks down the humanness, right? It's the same reason they want to destroy the family unit. It's the same reason they want to confuse genders, because all these things remove us from our human nature, which naturally would reject communism and the crap they try to bring in. So, you know, they're using all of these things to basically to make people feel like, you know, this violence is normal, and they want, you know, people on the left to feel justified attacking people on the right. It's like, you know, we're seeing these videos or the news. Think about, was it Waukesha? I forget how to pronounce the name. I think it was up in Wisconsin, of that black guy that mowed down the parade and killed like all these people. Right. So then you recently had the other black guy that was live streaming as he was walking around shooting people. And a lot of these are racially motivated crimes. Of course, mainstream media is not reporting on it, you know, because it doesn't fit their narrative. But, you know, they're trying to create race wars in America. And it's just all part of their ploys. Then you have what happened in Illinois, which precise details of, basically, if I understand correctly, they passed something which is going to make it so that starting sometime next year, you can literally be like arrested for second degree murder and you'll be released with no bail. Right. So it's insane. Yeah. There you go. So Illinois passes a law ending cash bail, gains the nickname, the Purge Law. Right. So I've never seen the Purge movies. to me, I just don't watch that kind of ultra violent stuff. I think it's bad for my soul. Mm-hmm. But the whole premise of the Purge movie is that there's like one day a year where there's no laws. And so one day a year, all the criminals come out, they kill, you know, whoever they want to, they rape whoever they want to. And that's basically what they're doing in Illinois. So what you can see, though, you can see that there's all of these different things that they're doing to create destabilization in America. Like, they're really trying to destabilize America, because that's where the opportunity is, you know, because it's like, if we're a strong country and we have strong communities and everything, They don't stand a chance. So just, yeah, it's kind of crazy. But the lesson for me on this is just like, keep your cool, right? Stay grounded. Don't be reactive. Don't be the one out there saying, you know what, like, I'm taking to the streets with guns, because that's exactly what they want. And I expect that they're going to have some kind of false flag that they're going to use to try to rile people up, because they want blood in the streets, but we can't give it to them.
Good quote. Keep your cool, Seth.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said, Seth. I think when I see stuff like that, honestly, sometimes I'm just like, again, it's a good thing that God is the judge and not me. Because, like, based off of what I'm seeing, there's just a lot of people that just don't seem to deserve life right now. I'm not saying, like, I would never get violent or anything like that. That's not even the point. The point is just that, like, it's outrageous how morally based some people are, you know, and it's really sad that this stuff goes on. And it is, it's basically to coax us out into doing something, and that's just not going to happen. But it is really sad that there is no, like, to some extent, in some ways, there's no justice right now. And you know, you know, people are losing their lives, actually, and people are responsible for those lives being lost. And what would they think, just because the Democratic Party supports them, that they're not going to have to pay for that? Like, I mean, really. So, but anyway, you guys, it's about time to go over to rise.tv, and the show isn't over yet. We're going to leave Rumble and head over to rise.tv for a lot of people's favorite part of the show. First, we're going to have a dig deep Q&A where you can ask us all your burning questions. We get into philosophical, funny, and spiritual discussions every week, and we love seeing what y'all come up with in our live chat. And it's really become like family over there, for real. And we'd love for you to be a part of it too. We also have our top 10 weirder news segment with the craziest real headlines of the week, like life on Mars, CIA shenanigans, and really strange deep sea creatures. You'll have, you'll have to see to believe, because it's ridiculous. So support our work and subscribe to Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month. And if you're listening to Rise.tv, Friday Night Live podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and review so we can reach even more people. Now let's head over to Rise.tv.
Have you ever heard of a crematorium with 50 security guards?
So they would hang you up?
As an American who grew up in a free society, their story was hard for me to take in.
That was basically what they learned. They learned how to do this. They got promoted through the system.
Substantial amount of blood was drawn.
You can't wait for somebody to come and get you for your to stop the practice. By then, it's going to be too late.
And that's exactly what happened. What's next?
America people, so nice. Heart, so good. They don't understand the truth.
All the evidence is there. You can see it all on video. Every document is there.
This is very different from the old days when we dealt with the Soviets, because Soviet Union and the Americans, the United States, were completely separated. Now, the enemies are within.
All right, we're back.
My favorite time of the show.
It is. It's deep dive.